This is the Z Code Sports Betting Podcast. Are you struggling to find success betting sports? Tired of empty promises and scams handicapping services? Wondering why Vegas sports books become richer and richer and how you could win on sports too? This podcast is what the sports investing industry truly needs, an insider look into proven successful strategies. Z Code Podcast is your crash course in sports investing that destroys popular misconceptions and provides invaluable sports prediction analysis tools that you can download for free. We outline insider winning systems from experts that make a living through sports investing and explain how you can do it too. Armed with the best tools in the industry and a proper mindset, sustaining profits is easier than ever before. Welcome to Z Code Podcast.
As I'm sure you are well aware of, the biggest sporting event of the year, the World Cup in Brazil, is about to begin, and it is a wonderful time to devote this episode to our great soccer expert, Josh from Australia. We wanted to find out his secrets, his tips, his insights about betting on soccer in general and the World Cup in particular. Now, if you guys are new to our show, make sure to download a copy of the free Z Code Bible at sportsinvestingbible.com. There you can find tips and parts of the systems to get you started fast, including these soccer systems. And if you've already been doing sports investing for a while, you might be surprised to learn that Z Code Lab has just released a new line reversal tool for the Soccer World Cup. You will find that at linereversals.com. And this little tool is starting to be one of my favorites. It shows you all the line moves in real time, where the sharp money goes, where the high rollers are placing the bets, how they move the line, where the public bets are, and how you can fade the public to stay on the winning side. You will love it, especially for the Soccer World Cup that's coming up. It is going to be super helpful. Without any further ado, though, let's welcome Josh to the show. Hi, Josh. It's really nice to have you. Of course, you are well known in our Z Code community, but for those who are new to this community, new to the show, would you take a minute? Please tell us a few words about yourself, where you come from, how you got started in sports investing career and such.
Hey, it's great to be here. So, as you know, I'm Josh and I'm from Sydney, Australia. I've been a member of Z Code for about a year and a half. I began wagering on sports just for fun with friends, and we used to get together and have a few drinks and watch some games and put some plays on. It would only be for fun, and there was nothing serious about it. Or if we won, it was great, but if we lost, it kind of wasn't a big issue. But I wanted to take things a little bit more seriously and make it profitable for myself and kind of do betting or investing in my own time. Because I enjoyed predicting games and calling outcomes and then seeing them come off. And that was something that made me feel good. And I got into a lot of data and statistics and tactics about football and being able to traverse that into betting or investing on sports was something that I really found enjoyable. So I heard of people always being able to live off sports betting, but didn't think it was possible until I found Z Code, and some of the experts on there are amazing, and that kind of put me on a mission to get to that level myself. Since joining Z Code, my mindset on betting or making a play has completely changed. The knowledge on the site is by far probably the best thing you'll ever find if you're pursuing sports betting or sports investing. So yeah, that's pretty much how I got started in all this.
So how popular is soccer in Australia compared to the Europe or let's say the US? Do you have major leagues? What are the most popular sports in Australia these days?
Well, I'd say football in Australia is definitely nowhere near the level of the popularity that it is in Europe or South America. It's probably more popular in the States as well, but it's definitely on the rise. The A-League got a massive TV deal this season to show every single game live on cable TV, and that, I think that was a big thing for the sport, and And it really put it out there for the public to be able to access the sport better. This year, the season crowd average was the highest it's ever been since the competition started. I believe it was seven years ago. So it's great numbers, and I think it'll only continue to get bigger and bigger. There's always advertisements about Australia for the World Cup and the Asian Championships, which some of our clubs are partaking in. And you just have to look at the crowd that gets out to Parramatta for the Western Sydney Wanderers games. It's some of the best atmosphere you'll find anywhere, even in European games. It's great, and it's really, really good for the game, and you can see that it's growing in Australia.
Now, you've been running several successful systems, such as TGBB and several other systems. Can you tell us, how do you usually analyze the games for your system?
The first thing I'll do when trying to find plays for a day is I'll open livescores.com.au, and that pretty much has the fixture list for every game that'll be available in football for the day. I select favorite leagues that I like to keep track of. Usually I only select the ones where a lot of data is available, or a lot of statistics that you can find around the internet. I won't go into leagues where it's so minuscule that you can't find any information on them. It's just not viable to make me feel like the bets that I'm playing are confident if I've got no data to back them. So everything I do is based on statistics and previous records. I don't do anything by gut or think this is Real Madrid, they're going to win 100% for sure. I don't do any wagering like that. And some of the key elements that I look for when making a play would be a team's shots on target, a team's shots at goal, how many times they touch the ball inside the box on average for games, their home and away record, current form comes into it obviously as well. A team could have played horrible at the end of the season, but they've turned it around. How many clean sheets they've kept per game, goals they've scored per game, see their next fixture list, what games do they have coming up and what games have they just played. A team could kind of reduce the level that they're playing at if they have a big game coming up in a couple of days. Another big thing is, has a team played only 3 days before? There was a study done where a team is 50% less likely to get a win, or they have a 50% drop in performance if they've only played a couple of days before. I think it's just down due to fatigue, and it is humans playing the game. So that's another thing that you want to keep in mind when you're making a play. Another big thing is the manager's ability to man-manage his players and inspire them to get a win. If you've got players who have won it all before, how do you know that they're likely to get out there and want to keep winning? You need a good manager there to kind of build the enthusiasm and get them fired up for the match. You want to make sure that teams have a consistent 11, or they're not swapping and changing all the time. If players are playing with each other all the time, they're going to be a lot better than a side who's putting different players in every game. So you want to keep track of team sheets and who's playing, who's not playing. Pretty much anything you can think of that you want to write down that you think would have some effect to the game, that's what you should be keeping track of in your own little database. There's a lot of stuff available on the internet, but there's certain things that you can keep yourself that wouldn't be on a stats website.
What is the biggest difference in handicapping soccer compared to traditional major league sports, like, let's say, baseball, hockey, or others?
I think the difficulty of handicapping football would be needing to have the vast knowledge of all the different leagues and in all the different countries. For example, England, I'll cover Premier League, Championship, League One, and League Two. So that's already one country and four leagues where you need to have knowledge of the players that are playing, the teams, and how they play the game. So that, for me, that's probably the biggest challenge. Everything else would be similar to other sports. You want to look at data and you want to see who's playing well, teams, forms, etc. That doesn't really change from sport to sport, but just having to know so much about so many different players is where the big challenge lies if you want to cover a lot of leagues and get a lot of players from different countries, because in the end, the more knowledge you have about different leagues and different players is going to increase your win percentage, because you have a lot more range to select from.
Well, let's get back to the World Cup 2014, which is starting in Brazil very soon. What are your expectations?
Yeah, the World Cup is something I'm really excited about. Can't wait for it to get started. And some of the thoughts I have around it is, I think there'll be a few upsets from the South American teams playing at home. It's going to be totally different climate down there to what the European teams are used to. And they always struggle to play in that kind of heat. One thing I noticed yesterday, I saw a news article on the England team training in big track suits to kind of get used to how hot it'll be while they're running around down there. So teams have got to prepare differently, and going to have a big effect on kind of plays and who wins, who loses. And the European teams that adapt the best are going to be the ones that find themselves getting deep through the competition.
Do you usually bet such high-profile events, or do you concentrate on smaller leagues?
For something like the World Cup, I don't see any problem in making plays or wagering on it. Things like maybe the Champions League final or a cup final, they're the things that I probably wouldn't bet on, because there's a lot more that comes into it than just a team's win-loss record or team statistics. As they're all humans, they can fire themselves up for a game where they can win a trophy or they can win something in the sport. So the World Cup isn't something that I think is like one of those finals. Definitely not the group games anyway. The group games is probably where I make most of my plays. As we get to the knockouts, I'll only play if there's an obvious choice. But as it gets longer into the competition, I'll probably have less and less plays, as once it gets to the final, there's no way I want to be making a play on a team to win, as anything can happen. So I don't see a problem betting on the World Cup this season.
Now, we did this with Rob on a previous interview, and it's going to be very interesting. If you two could quickly go through each group and let us know your picks and predictions for each group in the World Cup, and give us your qualification winners too.
Yeah, sure. Makes me feel like one of those analysts on one of the football programs giving their thoughts about the World Cup. But yeah, I'll go through each group and tell you who I think will do well and will struggle. And hopefully people can take some things away from it, and it'll help them with their own picks. So Group A, you've got the host country Brazil, along with Croatia, Mexico, and Cameroon. My thoughts on who will progress, I think, will be Brazil and Mexico. Some would say Croatia, but I don't think they have the quality to go through. The big thing with Mexico is if they can get their foreign players on board and get them playing well, I think they'll be a lot better team than what people expect. I don't see Cameroon being any kind of a threat. They might get a draw or two, but I can't see them winning any games. Brazil, obvious favourites to go and win it all, being the host nation, and they just have quality across the board. I'd be looking for a big tournament from Thiago Silva, the captain, at the back. But yeah, they should go through comfortably. I'd expect them to win all three games, and maybe it'll be a tough one against Mexico, but they should get 3 out of 3 and 9 points for their group. Going down into Group B, we've got probably the group of death, and I would say the hardest group. because there's three teams that could possibly qualify from here. You got the Spain, Netherlands, Chile, and then you got my country, Australia, who probably have absolutely no hope at all. There's a lot of funny talk in my country about Australia getting a result against Chile, and I think that's ludicrous, as Chile will want it, be one of the strongest teams in the competition. They've got a lot of good players who play in a lot of the top leagues around Europe, and I think people's views on the side are completely wrong. For me, I think Spain and Chile will go through in this group, simply because the Netherlands are more of a team of individuals, and they can't get together and work as a team. There's too many players who want to do it all themselves, and I just think, yeah, Spain and Chile will go through in this. Chile will get a result against Australia, possibly get a result against Netherlands. I wouldn't be surprised if they beat them there, and they may lose to Spain, or they could possibly get a draw as well. Spain, I'd expect them to beat the Netherlands and definitely beat Australia. And then there's the game against Chile where they could get a draw or not. Netherlands, I would expect them to lose to both Spain and Chile and win against Australia, so that would put them in third place. So I would probably say Spain tops the group, Chile second, Netherlands third, and then Australia last, who I don't really need to talk about because I don't see them getting a result at all. I would see them lose all three games. Group C, not a very exciting group. Colombia, Greece, Cote d'Ivoire or Ivory Coast, and Japan. Colombia, pretty good side. I would think they would at least get second in this group, and probably the Ivory Coast would win this. Greece, they've had some good times in international football. Very well-structured side and very defensive at the back. Don't look for them to be very exciting on offense. They don't score a lot of goals. But I think the quality of Colombia and the Ivory Coast will be too good for this group. Japan have played well. They play some good football to watch, but I don't think the quality is there to get them through to the knockout rounds. Their main players haven't been playing a lot of football lately. Kagawa didn't get much of a run at United this season, so he may be short of match form. And Keisuke Honda in Milan hasn't been up to expectations. Milan being my favorite team, I've watched almost every game he's played in since the move in January, and he has not been very good at all. So that's why I don't put Japan going through. I believe they'll get third, and Colombia and Ivory Coast to go through there. Group D, another very tough group. Uruguay, Costa Rica, England, and Italy. That first game between England and Italy is going to be huge, and that the result from that could be what either sends England home or gets them through to the group stages. For England, I'd like to see Jack Wilshere, Raheem Sterling, Oxlade-Chamberlain, and Lallana play all together. That would be great, but I don't think that would happen. It's up to Roy Hodgson, obviously. But yeah. For as far as outcomes of games go, there was just news that came out that Suarez was injured, and that'll be a big loss for Uruguay, and could see them go out of the group if he's not playing. I don't expect Costa Rica to get anything from this group. They'll probably be bottom. It's really tough to call. I think Italy will go through and possibly win the group. And then it'll be a battle for second between Uruguay and England. That first game, I think Italy will get the result. When it comes to big tournaments, they always pull out all stops and go to another level. I wouldn't take anything you see from friendlies from Italy, as they don't approach them seriously. So, yeah, Italy to top the group. England or Uruguay second, I can't really pick it there. But Suarez missing may be a big loss, but England defensively are terrible. And then Costa Rica to be bottom of the group. Group E, we have Switzerland, Ecuador, France, and Honduras. Easy group for France here. They should top the group comfortably and win all three games. Very strong side. And then I'd probably have Ecuador as second, being the South American side who have had a fair few good results in qualifying. And then Honduras, bottom of the group, don't expect them to do anything. And Switzerland coming in third. The Swiss have a good young side, but I just don't think they have enough to get through to the knockout rounds in this one. Group F, another pretty easy group with one strong side and then three pretty average sides. So Argentina here. For me, Messi needs to have a massive tournament. There's always talk about he can't be the best ever unless he doesn't win a World Cup. So I would think he'd put his shooting boots on and have a massive World Cup this one. So because he is getting older, he's 26 now. So look for him to have a big competition. I'd probably say Nigeria to come in second. Good African team who usually do well at the World Cup. A lot of lesser known players, but they all have quality. Bosnia and Herzegovina have a couple of good players, but I don't think they have a good enough team to make it anywhere in the competition. And then Iran, I would say bottom of the group. So Argentina first, Nigeria second, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and then Iran. Group G, which could be one of the most exciting groups in the World Cup. You got Germany, Portugal, Ghana, and USA. Germany will be a very, very strong side and could go all the way. It's one of the potential winners. They should get results against all three sides here, unless Ronaldo pulls something out when they play Portugal. Look for Germany to win the group. It's probably Portugal to come second. That's another hard one, as USA and Ghana, probably not teams that you would consider great, but they can get a result on their day. You saw Ghana at the last World Cup do really well and got through to the knockouts, but Germany first, Portugal second, and then Ghana and USA to fight it out for those last two spots, unless something unusual happens. Group H, team I'm very excited about, Belgium. I believe one of the dark horses to win the competition. They've got quality in every single position on the park. The only worry I have is squad depth. After that first team, they don't really have a lot more. Not a lot of good players to come off the bench, but their starting side is phenomenal and probably one of the best starting sides in the World Cup for me. They play good football, and I'm really excited to watch them and see how they go. And as I said, one of the potential dark horses to go a long way. Russia, another pretty strong side. They haven't been doing too well lately. I think they will qualify from the group along with Belgium. Algeria won't offer much resistance. And South Korea or the Korea Republic, they're a good side, but I think being in this group along with Russia and Belgium, they just won't offer enough to get through to the next round. So as far as standings go, I would look for Belgium to win the group, Russia to come second, South Korea third, and then Algeria to bottom out the group.
And who, in your prediction, will be the finalist for the World Cup 2014?
As far as finalists go, it's going to be very hard to pick at this World Cup. You've got a lot of good sides on both sides of the draw. For example, on the left side of the draw, you could have the possibility of Brazil, France, or Germany going through. I may have forgotten a side there. But on the other side, then you have England, Italy, Argentina, Uruguay, Belgium, Portugal. There's a lot of possibilities on that second side. If I had to pick two teams to get into the final, I'd probably fantasy matchup would be Brazil versus Argentina in the final for in South America in Brazil. That would be probably the biggest match that I could think of, and I would be very happy if that happened. It would be great viewing for the neutral.
Well, we really thank you so much for your time today, Josh. And would you mind offering maybe a final tip for the noobs, for the fans, for the followers out there on the show?
My final tips? Oh, well, all I would say is make your plays carefully. Don't go and bet on everything. Soccer has a lot of games on every day in a lot of different countries, and one of the easy things that you can fall into is betting on a lot of games on a lot of leagues. So my tip would be to choose your plays carefully, shortlist a bunch of games that you think you can have plays in, and then filter out until you get to about one or two. Because the secret to being profitable in football is avoiding the losses. You have a lot to choose from, and that gives you a big advantage of finding winning plays. If you reduce losses and get rid of the amount of games and the quantity of games that you're betting on, you'll find that you're a lot more profitable. One thing I always say is quality over quantity. If you can make one or two plays a day and they both win, instead of, say, 10 plays a day and only 4 or 5 win, you're definitely on the way to making things very profitable. Thanks for having me, and it was a pleasure to be here, and I hope people got some insights and just a general overview of the World Cup. And look for me on the wall. I'm planning to make around 100 units of profit on the World Cup, and it should be a good one. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Hey, thank you, Josh. It has been really great having you on the show. And there you have it, guys. I hope you are enjoying our sports betting podcast interviews. And don't forget to check out our new Z-Code Soccer Cash Contest, which is devoted to the World Cup. There you can win real cash prizes and even some surprise gifts like an original Brazuca FIFA World Cup ball, hand-signed by some famous players, as well as an honorable trophy for the champion. So check out the Z-Code VIP Club at zcodesystem.com and get on board. Everyone is welcome. And if you don't really care that much about soccer or the World Cup, make sure to check out the new automatic MLB baseball betting robots such as KISS System and Alpha and Delta Trend. They give automatic picks with unit sizes, fully back-tested approach, complete no-brainer for guys like me who are just starting out. It's really easy way to get started in your betting. Take care, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you for listening to our Z-Code Sports Betting Podcast, where insider systems, secrets, and tools are revealed to help you win on sports betting. If you have a comment or question, make sure to visit us at www.zcodesystem.com. Download our free sports prediction tools and join our VIP club to follow winning systems from people who make a living betting sports professionally. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. See you next time.